Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an exciting day for me and my family to come join you all here at St. John's, so thank you very much for offering such a warm welcome. In New England, we can be a little snobbish about our seasonal weather. We take a fair amount of pride in the virtue of our four fully orbed seasons. But if we're honest, at least in my opinion, weather in New England is all about the fall. Winter, spring, and summer are mostly tolerable, but each season has its own seasonal irritation. Spring is rainy and muddy, summer is hot and humid, and winter is just bitter and cold. Each of these seasons has its own critical flaw. The arrival of fall not only ushers in some nice weather, it also coincides with certain cultural events that help us mark the changing of the seasons. Maybe it's the return to school, or the beginning of the Patriots football season, or maybe it's that first crisp morning when you realize you have to put on a sweater before you leave the house. For me, I know it's fall when I see a news story about some unsuspecting college student having unsuccessfully tried to drive a U-Haul on Star Drive. The fall season has also become increasingly marked by other, less sentimental types of events. Events that challenge the fabric of our society and the cohesion of our global community. Events with names like Hurricane Harvey and Maria, and most recently, Dorian. Names that increasingly sound like villains in the pages of history. Events that have brought destruction and chaos to the lives of our neighbors, both domestically and abroad. This year, the fall is also marked by the ramp up towards the 2020 presidential election, where the people of this nation will consider who might lead us best in responding to the challenges posed by our healthcare system, by gun violence, by our immigration policies, and our diplomatic relationships with the rest of the world. This is a season of great weather, but it's also a season of introspection and self-discovery as we collectively contemplate, as a people, what kind of world we want to live in. The fall brings the beginning of new things, new types of organization, planning, and arranging, and we find ourselves asking critical questions about who we are as a people in the year 2019. Who will we choose to care for? Who are we willing to protect? Who are we willing to dignify or possibly love? In our gospel reading this morning for Luke, we find the Pharisees and the scribes in the midst of a similar type of social analysis. The Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling because Jesus is socializing with sinners. In this context, sinner seems to be a euphemism for people who were not religiously observant, either out of their poverty or ill health, or maybe by their cooperation with the Imperial Roman government. The implication of this grumbling seems to indicate that sinners and tax collectors are a problem, a liability, and maybe even dangerous. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus and the Pharisees have an ongoing dialogue about who exactly belongs in the kingdom of God. In this interchange, the Pharisees seem to suggest that sinners and tax collectors are two categories of people that are beyond the pale, maybe beyond the grace of God, and two categories of people that are not proper members of God's family. In the eyes of the Pharisees, tax collectors and sinners are both people who fracture communities, who harm the common good. They break rules, or maybe worse, they follow the rules of a foreign occupying government. In short, sinners and tax collectors were seen as a people who posed a danger to the already fragile social fabric of life in the kingdom of Israel. These types of people, sinners and tax collectors, needed to be managed and kept at an arm's length. And now, in addition to healing people on the Sabbath, Jesus is now keeping the company of these untouchables. Jesus had even gone as far to eat with them, suggesting friendship and approval. This was not how the kingdom of God was supposed to operate. It wasn't a free-for-all. Jesus couldn't just change the de facto rules, throw open the gates of heaven and welcome all people into God's family. There were rules and customs, and what Jesus was doing was just disorderly and without precedent. Now, this type of critical social commentary from the Pharisees was not exactly in line with Jewish teaching either. Psalm 1 reminds us that happy are those who do not sit in the seat of the scoffer. Happy are those who do not succumb to being petty and judgmental. So the Pharisees and the scribes were not exactly walking the walk here. They were not loving their neighbors as themselves. In response to the Pharisees' criticism, Jesus responds in typical rabbinic fashion, and he tells the crowd a parable. The parable offers the image of a shepherd with 100 sheep. One sheep wanders off, and the shepherd, in a surprising, seemingly reckless act, abandons the 99 remaining sheep and goes off to find the one lost sheep. And the shepherd finds the lost sheep, and when he does, he's not angry or annoyed. The shepherd rejoices. He gathers together with his friends and neighbors and celebrates. Parables are intended to be thought-provoking, and sometimes they're a bit esoteric and mysterious, but this parable is pretty straightforward. But it also provides a radical commentary on exactly who belongs in the kingdom of God. The marginal 1%, the social fringe, that one sheep, that one person, is critical to the people of God. So critical that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, would abandon the majority of the flock to go in search of that one wandering, non-conformist sheep. The sheep that may have been a bit different. The sheep whose inability to conform and follow may have been seen as a danger to the rest of the flock. A shrewd shepherd may have seen this type of non-conforming behavior as a business liability. When we have an abundance of something, we don't always carefully steward all the details. 1/100, 1%, would it be wise to risk the 99% of any of our own personal capital or wealth or our belongings to chase down that one unreliable percent? Or would it be more pragmatic and prudent to just cut our losses, to exclude the wandering sheep and maybe the tax collector and the sinners too? This parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is not arranged or ordered to manage risk. God doesn't call us to hedge our bets or to play it safe, to only welcome those who fit nicely into our de facto customs and practices. In the kingdom of God, all parts of the human family, even that wandering 1%, have equal value and purpose, all equally worth pursuing and dignifying and loving. In the Gospels, we hear Jesus debating or critiquing the Pharisees. We might imagine that the Gospel writers included these accounts because these types of discussions and attitudes were relevant to their own Christian communities. There would be no practical reason to include these stories otherwise. So when Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for being exclusive or legalistic or parochial, it is likely that Luke was encountering this same type of petty behavior in his own community. I think we might consider our own inclinations towards managing risk or difference. We might ask ourselves this same question: who does belong in the kingdom of God? The good news is that Jesus came into this world to bring us all closer to God, to offer us a new way to be God's people, not through judgment, but through forgiveness and compassion and love. The joy that the Good Shepherd experienced when he found that lost sheep, that's the same joy that Jesus feels when we are reconciled to God and at peace with one another. When we're together, when we pursue the great commandments to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This fall has ushered in some new beginnings for our community here at St. John's. New beginnings that are unfolding in the midst of a changing world, a world with serious problems. But our essential mission as the people of God here at St. John's has not changed. We are called as a parish to gather together, to read Holy Scripture, to break bread, and to pray. We are called to love one another and to be the ambassadors of God's love, to be Jesus' hands and feet to the people here in Newtonville. And like the Good Shepherd, sometimes God calls us to defy convention, maybe even common sense, to take some chances, to leave the 99 in search of that one wandering sheep. Amen.